The Sikha for Parsha Emor is in Chelek Chav Zayin in volume 27 of Likutei Sichos. The Rebbe begins by saying that everything in Torah is a Hezor, every part of Torah is a lesson and a teaching, including also the names which we give the various parshas. This parsha is called Emor, which means to say, and although the sentence is reads Emor el hakayanim, say to the kayanim, yet the parsha is not in Jewish tradition called Emor el hakayanim, but it is called Emor, the one word to say, saying. So the Rebbe asks, what is the lesson, what is the message inherent in the word Emor, saying, to speak? Generally we find that speaking is not such a positive thing. Or as the Mishnah says, Emor ma'at, say little. So generally, speaking is not a positive thing. If we're talking about words of Torah, that the speech that is recommended here is words of Torah, for this we don't need a hidden message in the title of the parsha. The Torah says clearly, "V'dibarta bam," you should speak words of Torah. So what kind of speech does Emma refer to, and what is it telling us in terms of how we're supposed to speak? So the Rebbe explains as follows, that in the pasuk in Tehillim it says, and the Medrash brings it in connection to Emor el Hakayanim, it says, Imreis Hashem Amoreis Tehiris, that God's sayings are pure, they're tohir, unlike the speaking or the sayings of a human being. For example, it is customary that a king comes into a city, into a country, and all the people of the country praise him. And the praise is very sweet to the king, and so he promises them, tomorrow I will build you everything you need. But then the king goes to sleep and doesn't wake up. So where is he, and where are his promises? Where are his statements? But God is not that way. Rather, God is Hashem Elikim Emes. And why is he Emes? Omar Rab Ovin. So Rab Ovin says, because Elikim Chayim Umelech Olam, because he is a living and eternal king. And since Jews are also Chayim, Jews are also living, because Atem Hadveikim Bashem Elikechem Chayim Kulchem Hayim, by being connected to God, we too are living. So it's understood that just as by God the speech, the sayings are tahira, they are fulfilled, the same must be true also of Jews, that Jews can be trusted to fulfill what they say. And even more than that, not only to do what they say they're going to do, but since we are similar to God in some way, just as God's words themselves have an effect, B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, not that God says that he will do and then he does, but the saying itself accomplishes, the saying itself creates, Ba'asara Maimoris Nivra Ha'olam, God created the world by saying, there is a similar effect that a Jew has, particularly by tzaddikim, that when they, what they say has an effect. But what kind of a speech are we talking about? So we can tell what it is the Medrash is referring to by what the Medrash goes on to say. The Medrash goes on to say that in the times of David, there were children who had not sinned, and they were able to understand Torah and explain Torah in a very profound, deep way. And so David prayed for them and said, Hashem Tishmerein, God should keep them. God should protect them. But because they spoke Lashon Hara, they would, when they grew up, they would go out to war and they would fall in battle. because Lashon Hara, the Medrash says, is a very destructive sin, because it kills or harms three people: the one who says the Lashon Hara, the one who hears the Lashon Hara, and the one about whom the Lashon Hara is said. So we know from this that when the Medrash is referring to the word emir in our parsha, it's talking about the kind of speech that is the exact opposite of Lashon Hara, the exact opposite of talking bad about another person, particularly when that which is being said is true. Because if it's a lie, then it's called Meiti Shemra. It's a different sin from Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara is, even if it's true, or particularly if it's true, specifically if it's true. So the opposite of Lashon Hara would be speaking only complimentary, saying only complimentary things about another person, and in such a way that the compliment actually has an effect. So we'll understand this from what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis. The Rambam tells us how a person should behave. So in Perek Hei, the Rambam writes that a Talmud Chacham is a type of a person who is Mesape B'Shvach Chaveri, who speaks only complimentarily about his friends, V'Lei B'Gnusei Klal, and doesn't mention their faults at all. Later on in Perek Vav, the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah for every person to love every other Jew as himself. As it says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, you should love your fellow Jew as yourself, and therefore it is necessary a person should speak only complimentary about his friend. Should say only compliments, only positive things. So now we need to understand the Rambam. What is it that the Rambam is saying in the first halacha in Perek Hei, where he says that a Talmud Chacham speaks only says only positive things about others and not their faults, when it would appear that this has no particular relevance to the Talmud Chacham? This is a mitzvah for all Jews. This is something everybody should do. Why does the Rambam relate it to the Talmud Chacham, when he himself, in the very next Perek, in Perek Vav, says that it's a mitzvah on every person to have Ahavas Yisrael, and therefore to speak only that which is complimentary about another Jew? So every Jew should do this. So we might say, we might try to explain it by saying that the difference between what the Rambam says on Perek Hei and what the Rambam says on Perek Vav is that he's talking about two different virtues. In Perek Hei, he's talking about the qualities necessary to be a Talmud Chacham. What are the properties? What is the behavior of a Talmud Chacham that makes him a Talmud Chacham? So among other things, the Rambam says that a Talmud Chacham should be recognizable in all his ways, in that he is different from the average person, and his quality, the quality of his character, is recognizable in the way he speaks, in the way he walks, and so on. So what is it that sets the Talmud Chacham apart in the way that he speaks? One of the things is that he says only positive things about his friend and not the negative. And then the Rambam concludes, a person who behaves this way, concerning this person, the Torah says, Vayema li avdi ato Yisrael asher b'cho esper, that God says, I am proud, I take pride in the behavior of a Jew. And since the Talmud Chacham has to have all of these things, 10 things that the Rambam mentions, that he has to be extremely perfect in his behavior, the result is that everyone praises him and loves him and desires to do as he does. And the result is that this brings a Kiddush Hashem. So that's what the Rambam is saying in Perek Hey. He's talking about what a Talmud Chacham is, and therefore how a Talmud Chacham behaves. So the fact that he speaks positively about others is not for the benefit of the others, but as part of the completeness of his own personality, of his own status as a Talmud Chacham. Then in Perek Vav, the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of loving a fellow Jew, and that is to do it, to do what is beneficial to your fellow Jew. And here the Rambam says that a person is created as a social creature. He has friends and he's attached to friends and is dependent on friends and so on. Therefore, you have to love your friends and you have to treat them properly. The Rambam then goes on to say, therefore, you should speak positive and say only positive things about another, and you have to protect his wealth and his money just as you protect your own. So here is a possible distinction between the fifth Pedic and the sixth Pedic, is whether you're talking about what is beneficial to others or what is beneficial for yourself to complete yourself and perfect yourself. But this would not be a complete explanation, because if in Perek Hey the Rambam is speaking only about what is necessary for a Talmud Chacham to perfect himself and to raise himself to the highest and most admirable level, it wouldn't be necessary then for the Rambam to say that a Talmud Chacham says positive things about others and not negative things at all. Why is that necessary? And if it is necessary, then it should be said first. It would make more sense to say a Talmud Chacham does not say negative things about someone else, but rather says only positive things. The reverse order is not logical. To say that a Talmud Chacham is someone who is so good and so refined that he says that he always speaks positively about others and never negative things at all, That's not a logical sequence. Because to say negative things is certainly undesirable. It's certainly a bad trait. And it's always bad. In other words, not saying bad things is a constant behavior. Whereas saying positive things, complimentary things, doesn't happen all the time. So the order should be, if you have to mention both things, the order should be that he never says anything negative, and on occasion, when necessary, when applicable, he will say positive things. So this tells us that the Rambam is speaking about saying positive things concerning someone else when that someone else could or maybe even should be criticized for his negative behavior. And that's what the Rambam says, that even in such a case, the Talmud Chacham will say positive things and not the negative things that would seem to be appropriate and necessary. So the Rebbe explains it this way. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Danes kol ha'odam l'kaf zchus. You have to give every person the benefit of the doubt. What does this mean? We're talking about someone who obviously is not behaving the way he's supposed to behave. And that's why there is a question as to how you should judge him. And he needs the Mishnah to argue his case and tell us that we should give him the benefit of the doubt. So the Talmud Chacham, who behaves and conducts himself according to the way the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us to behave, which is going beyond the letter of the law, because Pirkei Avos is Mila d'Chassidusa, tells us how to behave beyond the letter of the law. So because he's a Talmud Chacham and he goes beyond the letter of the law, he gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. Now, concerning this, the obligation to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, the Rambam adds a detail and says that when it comes to a Talmud Chacham who is giving the other person the benefit of the doubt, he speaks only in praise of the person and not criticizing him at all, which means that when he speaks positively about another person, even though he sees the faults that need to be criticized, he corrects the fault not by attacking the fault, but by speaking positively, and in that way correcting the fault to the point where it is completely eliminated, and there is nothing left to say klal at all. Now, why is this only for a Talmud Chacham? So the Rebbe says that this principle of giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, the Rambam says that a Talmud Chacham has to behave this way in order that other people should be pleased with the behavior of a Talmud Chacham, in order to bring the Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, the Talmud Chacham, more than anybody else, the Rambam says, has to be Diburei Benachas Im Kol HaBriyos. He has to speak pleasantly with all people. So here, the Talmud Chacham is different from everybody else. Because when a person has a fault, when there is something critical to be said about another person, we have the obligation to criticize. Now, by the Talmud Chacham, who has to be very careful that everything that he says has to be pleasant, and his way and his behavior has to be a model of godly behavior, he can't criticize and correct a person's faults directly. He can't attack the fault directly as the average person can, because for the average person, he doesn't have this obligation of speaking pleasantly with all people. So he can, on occasion, when it's appropriate and helpful, he can be critical. He can point out a person's fault in order to help him get rid of that fault. But the Talmud Chacham, whose speech with everyone, im kol habriyes, with all creatures, has to be benachas. So when he sees a fault in another, and he has to correct that fault, he has to find a pleasant way to do it. And so how does he do it? He does it by speaking positively, and not negatively at all. But he does it in such a way that when he speaks positively about his friend, he is actually revealing that which is positive. He reveals the virtues that the other person has, and by revealing those virtues, he affects the person to where his faults that he had until then fall away and become and are nullified. The Gemara says concerning Lashon Hara that Lashon Hara has a negative effect on three people: the one who speaks, the one who hears, and the one about whom it is said. So the one who hears and speaks, we can understand that they are affected negatively because they're involved in a sin. But why should the person about whom it is said, who is innocent, why should he be affected? How is he affected by the Lashon Hara? So the answer is that one of the properties of speech is that it brings into revelation that which was hidden. Because thought is hidden, and speech is revealed. So the effect that speech has is that it reveals that which was hidden. And therefore, when we say something negative about another person, we harm him by bringing his faults into the revealed state. It's possible that a person should have a fault, but it remains hidden. He doesn't act on it. It's not revealed in that person. But when we speak of it and reveal it in our speech, then it brings that fault into the world of speech, where until now it was only in the world of thought. And by bringing it out into the world, we activate it. And that can harm, have a negative effect on the person about whom it is being said. As the Alter Rebbe said about the Magid, about his teacher, that on occasion the Magid would explain something or say something in Torah that his listeners wouldn't understand at all. It was beyond them. But it was an occasion for the Magid to bring that thought into words and make it available in this world. And once he did that, then someone on the other side of the world could come up with that idea because it was already introduced by speech into the world. And so we see that in the positive, when you reveal a positive thing in Torah, it makes it available to others as well. And also in the negative, we have the idea of al-tiftach peh l'satan, that we shouldn't put into words that which we don't want revealed, or we don't want it introduced into the world. And since good is more powerful than evil, so if when we say negative things about another person, it can have a negative effect, then how much more so when we say positive things? That when we speak about the virtues of another person and reveal that in our speech, it makes it easier for the person about whom we are speaking to actualize those very virtues within himself and act on them. So it helps bring out the goodness. To take it a step further, Rambam says that the Talmud Chacham doesn't speak negatively at all. What is the emphasis of the word klal, at all? Rambam is trying to teach us that a Talmud Chacham, when he judges another person positively and gives him the benefit of the doubt, then in the end, not only does he help bring out the strength and the good things, the virtues in that person, but it helps him completely eliminate his faults. And to understand this, we have to understand a little bit better what does it mean to give a person the benefit of the doubt. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says that we shouldn't judge another person until we've been in his place. Why? Because the place where a person is can influence him and cause him to sin. Since he has to make a living by being in the streets all the time, and he's overexposed to all sorts of negative influences, therefore it is very hard for him not to sin. So we see from this that giving a person the benefit of the doubt doesn't mean that where there's a possibility that the person did something bad, but there's also the possibility that he didn't do anything bad, you should give him the benefit of the doubt. Here the Alter Rebbe is saying something else. You know that he sinned. You're giving him the benefit of the doubt that had he not been exposed to this kind of a test, to this kind of a nisoyon, were his life not so difficult, he would not have sinned. And that's the benefit that you're attributing to him. So this is a person who you know has done something wrong, and yet you find where he is not guilty or punishable for his sin because it's the circumstances that made him do it. And that's what we mean when we say that we should give the person the benefit of the doubt. The Hebrew word is lekaf schus. You should judge a person meritorious. But when we say he's not guilty for his sin because the circumstances caused him to sin, that means that he's not punishable, but it doesn't mean that he is meritorious. So what do we mean by zchus? So the Rebbe explains that when we judge a person and we say that he could have overcome the test that God put to him. God made him depend on his livelihood, on the, to be in the street corners and to be exposed to all of these things. Why did God do this to him? The fact that God would put him to such a test and put him into such a negative circumstance, that itself proves that God had previously provided this person with certain merits and certain powers that will enable him to overcome these tests. So even if in fact he's not overcoming it, it means only that this virtue, the merits that God gave him, are not being activated. He's not using the strength that God gave him. So this limud zchus, giving him the benefit of the doubt, means not only that he's not guilty for his sin, but that he has great virtue, which has not yet been actualized, which would have enabled him to overcome the to pass the test and overcome all temptation. And that's what the inner meaning, the deeper meaning of always give a person the benefit of the doubt, it means bring out and help him actualize those virtues, the merits, the meritorious side of the person that God has given him that he hasn't yet put to use. And so the Rambam says that a Talmud Chacham judges every person meritoriously, gives him the benefit of the doubt, and speaks only positively about him, and not critical at all. A true Talmud Chacham, who judges a person and gives him the benefit of the doubt, will eventually change the criticism or the critical things about the person, the negative things about the person, into zechus, into merits. Because when he sees how God is testing the person, which means that the neshama has been given great powers to be able to pass these tests, and then he speaks about those great powers that this person has and the potential that this person has, this completely eliminates the negative and the critical things that had been there previously. And that's what it means. The Seder, the name of this parsha is Emes. It tells us how we should speak. That there is a speech that is virtuous, which is not necessarily talking Torah, but it's talking about the virtues that a person has that enable him to live up to the expectations that God has of him. And just as God's words are effective in and of themselves, the same is true with these words. When they are spoken the way a Talmud Chacham is supposed to speak, they have the effect of bringing out the hidden good. This is connected also to another meaning that the Gemara says concerning the word Emes. The Gemara says that Moshe is being told that he should say to the Kayanim, and they in turn should say to someone else. And that is, Lahazhir Gdelim Alaktanim, that the adult Kayanim should pass on the message to the young Kayanim. And Lahazhir means not only to warn, but also from the word Zehar, to illuminate, to make light. So the Torah is saying that in teaching a child, in the chinuch of a child, there are two ways. One is to criticize the negative, and the other is to build up the positive. So in order to make it lahazhir, to make it light, a chinuch that illuminates, that enlightens, the criticism has to be with the left hand, and the positive has to be with the right hand, the stronger hand. And so this is what it means by emes, and not daber. Emes is a soft speech. Daber is a harsh speech. Emes is when you speak about the positive and build up the positive. And daber means when you criticize what is negative and try to discipline by criticism. And this is connected to the Rebbe Marash, whose birthday comes out in these weeks, and sometimes even on Parsha Emes, and in the Svira, in the middle of the Svira, on the Svira of Teferes Shebet Teferes. The Rebbe Marash said that there are some people, the world says, you have to go under, and if you can't go under, then you go over. But I say, l'chadchila ribe, you go over the problem right from the start. And one of the meanings of this is that to go under means that you first attack what is at the bottom, meaning the negative. To clean up the bad behavior, the undesirable behavior of a student. And then when you finish with that, then you go over, then you deal with the virtues and with the good things about the student. The Rebbe Marash says, l'chadchila aribe, add goodness, focus on the good, focus on the positive, and that will automatically take care of the negative.